If you have your Bibles, you're welcome to turn with me. I'm going to be in 1 Samuel. We're going to be in chapter 18. And we're going to go through verses 6 through 30 this morning, continuing in our series, The Life of David. We've been hitting on some of these stories, some of which are very well known if you've been a follower of Christ for some time now. But at the same time, even as we go into some of these stories that you may say, oh, I've heard this story before, I heard the story as a kid, I think there's so much benefit for all of us as we seek to, this morning, be still and reflect on how we can use our energy, how we can use our influence for God's glory. We have a responsibility to use our energy and our influence for God's glory. And so we're just going to read through the verses, and then we'll begin this morning. I'm just going to follow along on the screens myself. So if you don't have your Bible, you're welcome just to follow along with me. It is a number of verses. So beginning in verse 6, it says, "When the men were returning home after David had killed the Philistine, the women came out from all the towns of Israel to meet King Saul with singing and dancing, with joyful songs and with timbrels and lyres. As they danced, they sang, 'Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands.' Saul was very angry. This refrain displeased him greatly. 'They have credited David with tens of thousands,' he thought, 'but me with only thousands. What more can he get but the kingdom?' And from that time on, Saul kept a close eye on David. The next day, an evil spirit from God came forcefully on Saul. He was prophesying in his house while David was playing the lyre, as he usually did. Saul had a spear in his hand, and he hurled it, saying to himself, 'I'll pin David to the wall.' But David eluded him twice. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with David, but had departed from Saul. So he sent David away from him and gave him command over 1,000 men. And David led the troops in their campaigns. In everything he did, he had great success because the Lord was with him. When Saul saw how successful he was, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he led them in their campaigns. Saul said to David, 'Here is my older daughter, Merib. I will give her to you in marriage. Only serve me bravely and fight the battles of the Lord.' For Saul said to himself, 'I will not raise a hand against him. Let the Philistines do that.' But David said to Saul, 'Who am I, and what is my family or my clan in Israel, that I should become the king's son-in-law?' So when the time came for Merib, Saul's daughter, to be given to David, she was given in marriage to Adriel of Mahalah. Now Saul's daughter Michal was in love with David, and when they told Saul about it, he was pleased. 'I will give her to him,' he thought, 'so that she may be a snare to him, and so that the hand of the Philistines may be against him.' So Saul said to David, 'Now you have a second opportunity to become my son-in-law.' Then Saul ordered his attendants, 'Speak to David privately and say, look, the king likes you and his attendants all love you. Now become his son-in-law.' They repeated these words to David, but David said, 'Do you think it is a small matter to become the king's son-in-law? I'm only a poor man and little known.' When Saul's servants told him what David had said, Saul replied, 'Say to David, the king wants no other price for the bride than 100 Philistine foreskins to take revenge on his enemies.' Saul's plan was to have David fall by the hands of the Philistines. When the attendants told David these things, he was pleased to become the king's son-in-law. So before the allotted time elapsed, David took his men with him and went out and killed 200 Philistines and brought back their foreskins. They counted out the full number to the king so that David might become the king's son-in-law. Then Saul gave him his daughter Michal in marriage. When Saul realized that the Lord was with David and that his daughter Michal loved David, Saul became still more afraid of him, and he remained his enemy the rest of his days. The Philistine commanders continued to go out to battle, and as often as they did, David met with more success than the rest of Saul's officers, and his name became well known. Let's pray. God, what a story. What a story we have this morning as we reflect on the energy you've given us, the influence that you have given us. And though Saul used this energy, used his influence poorly, God, we have a responsibility not to act like Saul, but to act in the ways of David, to move forward, to give what you've given us, and to give the responsibilities, even the authority, over to you so that we can be your ambassadors, so that others will know that you are Savior and Lord, that we will walk in relationship with you through all of our life's circumstances. So I pray you go before us this morning. Encourage our hearts that we would walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we come to this text, that there's a whole lot here, and we're just going to skim the surface. And I do invite you, even if you have some time this week, maybe to go back again and just reflect on this story. A story that I remember hearing about when I was a kid. Not all the details, of course, but the story nonetheless. And as I was thinking about this, as I was thinking about energy, I was thinking about influence, I couldn't help but think about 9/11. Now, my mind's been on what happened 20 years ago, and maybe you had some time, even yesterday or throughout the past few weeks or months, to reflect on how life has changed in the past 20 years. Now, I think about where I was 12 years old, seventh grader. So I can't say I remember too much before 9/11, and yet I look at how life has changed for me, how life has changed for the United States and for the world. Now, I think about those who've given their life since then for the sake of our freedom, on which I am so thankful to be an American. As I think about that, as I think about this story, I think about how poorly people can use energy and influence. That thousands of people died because people were willing to use their energy and influence to kill others. So you and I have all, each one of us, we've seen energy and influence used negatively. How pain can be caused by energy and influence on a great scale, on a huge macro scale. And yet on a minor scale, we can also see how influence, how energy can be used for the detriment of others. And that as serious as it is to one extent, that people can really use their energy and influence to affect many, many people, even in the day-to-day, you and I have a responsibility to use the energy that God has given us, the life that God has given us, the influence that each one of us has for the sake of God's glory, that we need to take this seriously. We need to take this energy serious. We need to take this influence seriously for the sake of God's kingdom and for the sake of His glory. And so I'm just going to hit a few high points in this passage this morning. So we're just going to start off in verse 7, so we're reminded Saul is coming back from his campaign, and the people are coming out, as I think they regularly did, come out to meet the king, to meet those who are coming back from battle. And this is what Saul hears as he's coming back. And remember, if you weren't here last week, we talked about how David killed Goliath, that there was great victory. And so the people are really excited. They've seen how God has been working in Israel, how God is making Israel more and more dominant in the region they are located in. And so the people are coming out to meet Saul, and they, as the women are coming out, they danced and they sang, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands." And so the people are singing, they're excited. Of course they're excited. Why wouldn't they be excited? They've heard about this great victory, and they've heard about how God has used David, this man of his youth, from his youth, to kill this dominant warrior, Goliath, and how the Philistines are now on the run. This is great. Their main enemy is on the run, and so they're excited. And yet all Saul hears is the praise that David is receiving. All Saul hears is the praise that David is receiving. Now, they've claimed Saul has slain his thousands. Saul, you've done a great job. And they're so excited for David. He's slain his tens of thousands. That the people of Philistia, they're running now. How awesome is that? But if we went back and we looked at chapter 16, we'd see that the Spirit of God had departed from Saul. Saul had actually turned from God. He'd walked away from God. He was going to do things his way. Saul got his authority mixed up. He forgot that God had given him authority. And so he was thinking all about himself. And you and I can do the same thing. We can do the same thing. We can get our priorities mixed up. We can get our perspective mixed up. We can forget, I can forget how God has blessed me with energy, with strength. Each one of us got up this morning. Praise God, we're here. And each one of us has influence. Whether it be over a few people or whether it be over many people, every single one of us in this room have influence with someone. And Saul decided he was going to use his energy and his influence poorly. If we continue on, we see Saul's perspective, that Saul was very angry. This refrain displeased him greatly. They have credited David with tens of thousands, he thought, but me with only thousands. What more can he, David, get but the kingdom? And from that time on, Saul kept a close eye on David. The word kingdom, if we think about this, the kingdom was Israel, and God had said, he actually said to Moses, that he was going to be their God, he was going to be the Israelites' God, and they were going to be his people. He was going to make himself known, God was going to make himself known through the people of Israel to the nations. This is actually missional. God was going to reveal himself to the world through a finite people. And one way he did that was through David going into battle and miraculously killing Goliath without using a sword. So the kingdom was meant for God's glory. The kingdom, the Israelite kingdom, was meant for God to make himself known. He was purposing himself, God, to make himself known through these finite people. And he had given authority to Saul to use that authority for the sake of God's glory. And all Saul can see, is how his authority was so great for himself, how his authority allowed people to respect him, how he could use his authority for his better. He forgot that God had given him a specific purpose, specific influence over others, to lead in the campaigns in battle so that Israel would continue to make God known to the world. And you and I can do the same thing. I can do the same thing. I can get short-sighted. I can forget. Now, it's football season. In fact, today's the first Steelers football game. And I'm a Steelers fan, Pittsburgh Steelers fan, so I apologize. Although it's the first game for many people, so you Patriot fans get excited. Giants fans get excited. Jets fans, any other fans out here. And if you don't like football, I think you can still understand this illustration. Because whenever a great athlete on a football team is mentioned, it's usually really good for them to acknowledge others on the team because the sport is not just one person. The sport is actually 11 people at a time. I think especially about a running back. When a running back is interviewed after a game after they've done well. And many running backs, these are the people that they're given the ball by the quarterback and they run forward. And many running backs you'll hear, they'll praise the people in front of them, their offensive line. They'll say, I couldn't have done it without my offensive line. Because they know it would be silly if they just gave themselves the credit. Because it took all these people in front of them to create the hole so that they could run forward. And when an offensive line isn't good, it can make a really good running back look really bad. But when an offensive line is really good, it can make a running back who's not even really that good, a good running back, but not really great, look really, really good. And so a running back, they need to praise their offensive line, praise their team for the work that they've done so that they can get down the field, so that they can do their job. So they have to act humbly in that respect. They have to recognize, because when they just give themselves credit, most of the time you'll hear a reporter after the game or a commentator after the game talk about how great the offensive line was. And for Saul, he needed to recognize this. That God was the one who had given him the authority. God was the one who had allowed him to move forward. The reason that Israel was advancing was not because of their own strength. And God clearly displayed that through David, slaying a mighty warrior, Goliath. And for you and I, as we move forward, it's important that we recognize, that we see how as we move forward in faith, it is through God's strength, through actually the grace that he has given us, the unmerited favor that he's given us, that we can move forward in faith. You and I, each one of us has been given the grace of God, if we put our trust in Jesus, that we can move forward for his glory. And part of what it means for us to move forward in faith as disciples of Christ is that first and foremost, we trust God with every area of our life. We take that step, believing he will provide for us. And also, we recognize that he has a purpose for our life, and a purpose for David's life, a purpose for Saul's life, a purpose for all the people of Israel. He has a purpose for you and for me, that we would move forward in faith. And for us, we're taking the grace God has given us, the unmerited favor through Jesus Christ, if we put our trust in him. And we're sharing it with our neighbors. I'm so excited, as Wes shared, how we're going to have this Spanish class. And as you think about that, you're like, well, what does that have to do with church? What does that have to do with God? What does that have to do with us here at Grace Community? And yet this is exciting because we're recognizing, we're seeing that for those of us who don't know Spanish, which is me and many of us, that there's a great need, that we have people that are coming onto our property and they want to hear the gospel, they want to hear the good news in their language. They want to see that we care about them. And so we're simply taking that next step. And so I'm so thankful for a number of you who are learning to speak Spanish so that we are able to better connect with our community, to take the grace God has given us. This isn't just Spanish class. This is mission. It's taking the resources, the influence that we have, and using it for the glory of God. And yet we see that Saul, he wasn't doing that. In fact, he's keeping a close eye on David because he was all about himself. He wasn't about the glory of God. If we continue on, we can jump through here. We know that Saul, he tries to pin David. In fact, David would play his lyre because Saul had received actually an evil spirit. Not only he lost the spirit of God, he received an evil spirit that would come upon him. And so David was selected to play his lyre for Saul to calm him down. The Spirit of God would work in that way through David to calm down Saul. And yet David is here, he's with Saul, and Saul tries to kill him, pin him against the wall, he thinks. Yet we see how David eluded him twice. And then Saul, he's still trying to make plans. He's trying to figure out, how can I get David to be killed by the Philistines? How can I get him away? Because I don't want him to take my authority. And so he's trying to give his oldest daughter away. And yet we see that doesn't even work. Doesn't work because David sees himself appropriately. He's walking in humility. And as he's walking in humility, we see in verse 15, when Saul saw how successful he was, because he had sent him out into battle, because he couldn't destroy him, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he led them in their campaigns. He led them in their campaigns. And so they're seeing the victory. And we see again these stories. I'm just going to flip through real fast. How Saul tried to hand over his oldest daughter and how that didn't work out for him. And for you and I, it's important, I think it's important we see this, that in the same way, though I don't expect any one of us to take a spear and hurl it at somebody, I don't expect that. But in the same way, you and I can be destructive. When we get our minds off the mission of God, we become destructive. We think about this. God had gifted Israel, David. The Spirit of God was actually given to David in a very special way. David was anointed. He was going to become king. That David was going to be used in a mighty way for God's glory to be declared throughout that region, eventually throughout the world. And we think about how Jesus was in the line of David, how grateful we are that God worked through David, how amazing God worked through Jesus Christ, God's Son. And so for us, we can get ourselves off mission. We can become destructive with each other, bringing each other down instead of seeing the mission. We can become short-sighted. I can become short-sighted. And so we see here, this great king, Saul, his country is doing great things, for the sake of God's glory. And yet all he's focused on is trying to kill the one person who is giving the greatest victory for his country. All because he's afraid of the authority that God had actually given him. So he's using all this energy, he's using all this influence, everything he has. And he uses his influence especially with his another daughter. He has his attendants, those around him. He tells them, you guys go off. Tell David, you have another opportunity. I have another daughter, Michal. Tell David, Michal, she really likes David, and I really want you to be my son-in-law. And so they went off to David, and they're talking to David. And David's like, you think this is a small matter to become the son-in-law of the king? This is a small matter? And yet we see here how wise Saul was to one extent, how foolish he was to another extent. So he sends out David thinking, well, the Philistines are going to kill him. So I'm going to say, you need to go and kill 100 Philistines. And yet here we have David, and he is recognizing, well, here's an opportunity that I have. I will go out and lead this campaign as I've been doing now, and we will see great victory. If that's what I need to do, that's what I'll do. And so he goes off. And yet Saul's plan was to have David fall by the hand of the Philistine. Saul's plan was to have David fall by the hand of the Philistine. We don't want to be like that. We don't want to waste our energy and our influence for the sake of bringing down each other. But in the moments when we can tear each other down, and I can do that as well, can become short-sighted, not naive to my own mistakes. And each one of us, I believe, have had moments where we've had to say, ooh, I'm sorry. And I do that regularly with my wife to apologize, part of reconciliation in our marriage. And for you and I, we can make plans that are actually destructive. And so I want to invite you even today to begin to think about that and to reflect. How are you using your energy? How are you using your influence? Because God has a plan. God has a purpose for your life. And we all, every one of us, have a responsibility because we've been given the Spirit of God to move forward in faith. We don't need to make plans of destruction because we recognize that everything we've been given is a gift from God. And so we see as the story continues how things continue to really unwind for Saul, how they continue to move forward for David. Oops, can we... There we go, sorry. As they continue to move forward for David. And so David, he goes off. He kills 200 Philistines. Not 100, 200 Philistines. This, and I believe this is showing and revealing how the Spirit of God was with David. And yet Saul, he's afraid. He's fearful. He gives his daughter Michal over in marriage. And we see here in verse 28, when Saul realized that the Lord was with David and that his daughter Michal loved David, Saul became still more afraid of him, and he remained his enemy the rest of his days. And so we see how destructive habits can be formed. We have Saul who, first of all, thinks, I'm just going to pin David against the wall. Then he realizes, well, David's successful, but I'm going to send him out in all these campaigns, and eventually the Philistines are going to kill him. And he thinks, I'm going to send my oldest daughter, who's going to mess with David, who's going to make him not quite as focused that the Philistines will kill him. Then he tries to give another daughter over, thinking this daughter will distract him and David will die by the hand of the Philistines. And yet all the while, David continues to have success. And yet all the while, Saul wants destruction because Saul wants to protect his authority that God had given him. And as we think about our own mission, our own purpose, if we take these steps, you know, I've heard influence spoken of, and I've heard really the Christian walk talked about as if we want to go against the flow. You and I want to go against the flow. That the world we're living in right now, it is so hard. We are countercultural. How hard it is for us to move forward in our faith. How hard it is for us to take steps. I think about a salmon going up the river. They're fighting up the river. and how a grizzly bear will snatch the salmon out of the water, how hard it is for us as followers of Christ. We go against the flow. I think there's some appropriateness to that. It can be really hard for us to move forward in our faith. I don't want to diminish that. But at the same time, as we look at this story, I think we can also see that there are moments when God simply wants to walk with us. That you and I are not just going against the flow, but we're moving forward with God. That often it's not just that we're going upstream, but that we're simply following the one who's making the way for us. And David was doing that. It was no small matter for him to become this king's son-in-law, and it was no small matter for David to kill not just 100, but 200 Philistines. But the Spirit of God was with David, and the same Spirit of God is with you and with me if we put our trust in him. And so for all of us as followers of Jesus, I think it's really good for us to reflect on this. If you've just become a follower of Christ not that long ago, you have the responsibility to move forward in your faith. You have the responsibility to go and make disciples. It can feel like an uphill climb, but God is making the way for you. You have the Spirit of God with you, who's walking with you through all of life. This is not insurmountable. It's not insurmountable. It is a big deal, but it is not insurmountable because you've been given the Spirit of God. So if you are nervous right now, if you're saying, well, what does it look like for me to move forward in faith? What is the energy that God has given you? What is the energy that God has given you? The strength God has given you. I'm so thankful for our ministry leaders as we're starting off this year. We have young and old who are going to be using their influence to disciple others. Fantastic. It's awesome. We have ministry leaders who've only been followers of Christ for a short amount of time. They've begun to show the Spirit of God's work in their life. They're rooted in their faith. They haven't been followers of Christ for 10 or 20 years. They've been followers of Christ for long enough that we can see that they're rooted in their faith and they're taking next steps. And that is wonderful. It's awesome. There's no one who is excluded. If you put your trust in Jesus, you've experienced the Spirit of God, so we move forward in our faith. And for each one of us, each and every one of us, we have the purpose, the responsibility to walk with Jesus so that he will make himself known to our community. We want to take grace beyond the walls. We want to take the grace outside of ourselves that God's given us so others will know Jesus. We take the energy that God has given us. Now, I think about our older congregants. Our older congregants, you sometimes can feel tired. I'll tell you what, I can feel tired myself. I've been going on an eight-month-old. There are days when I just want to say, Lord, I just want to take a break. But even still, even so, whatever God has given us, we need to remember that it is a gift from God, the energy we've been given for the sake of his glory. And we all have influence, every single one of us. Every single one of us in this room has influence. Whether we be grandparents, have influence over our kids, or maybe over our neighbors, maybe over our grandchildren. You know, I was just with my family not that long ago. How great it is for me to watch grandparents who are walking with Jesus in their season of life and reminding me as they've walked faithfully with God longer than I've been alive, how God is calling me to walk faithfully with God as well. So some of the influence for our older congregants is simply walking in faith. Now, younger congregants can watch you and reflect on how you are moving forward, how you're trusting God. Now, I look at our music team today, how wonderful it is that we have young people who are singing and using their gifts for God's glory, who love Jesus. We have congregants who are a little more seasoned that I love, who are using their gifts and ability for God's glory. Every one of us has influence. So I invite you, if you're a teacher, we're just starting off the school year, in very interesting times. Again, I think about 20 years ago, what school was like, what we see on the news today. It's a hard time to walk with God, and it can really feel like we are going against the culture, we're going against the grain. But you have the Spirit of God within you. How might God be leading you to use your influence for his glory? How might you be able to love others who are hard to love for the sake of God's glory? For those of us who may work, I think about my job before I came to Grace. I worked for a portable toilet company. It's my family's business. And how I had the opportunity to go into work with a negative attitude or with a positive attitude. And when I went with a negative attitude, I was not exuding Christ. But when I went to work with a positive attitude, and at one time my job really was to scrub dirty portable toilets. It's a sanctifying work, but it's a great work. It's a humbling work. Because I had the opportunity to love God as I scrubbed portable toilets. We all have opportunity to move forward in our faith, to be influential with whoever God has given us for the sake of God's glory. We have the responsibility to do this. We cannot put this aside. If you've been putting this aside, I encourage you, do not put this aside any longer. Do not compartmentalize your mission. Do not compartmentalize your faith. Because in every area of our life, God wants to walk with us. Because he wants to show the miraculous. He wants to show how he has brought us from spiritual death to spiritual life. Because here we see with David, how as the Philistine commanders continued to go out to battle, as often as they did, David met with more success than the rest of Saul's officers, and his name became well known. And we know as David's name became well known, so God's name became well known. So how might God be calling you to move forward responsively, using your energy, using your influence for his glory? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your Spirit, because we need your Spirit. God, I ask that is there people here this morning who have struggled with what it looks like to take their next steps? Lord, would your Spirit guide us? We have young people here who've been followers of Christ for a short period of time who are trying to figure out what it means to live. We have the Spirit of God within them. Help them, Lord. Help our teenagers to take next steps for you. Help them to shine out the gospel. Lord, it is so hard in the public school setting, especially right now, to shine out the gospel. I pray for those who are in that situation. God, I ask that you would work through them. God, I think of our teachers, how messy it is right now to follow you in their faith, how it feels like a salmon going upstream, and all they can see are the grizzly bears. God, I pray that your Spirit would be at work within us. Help us to see the cross in all of this. Help us to move forward through the Spirit's work. God, I pray for our older congregants, some of who are just tired. God, help them to see the opportunities and the responsibilities that they have. God, I'm so thankful for those who've gone before me. How privileged we are, God, for the younger generation to watch an older generation walk with you. Lord, help us. We want to be on your mission. We want to be disciples who go and make disciples. Lord, don't let us get in the way of your purposes. You did great things through David, regardless of what Saul did. You will do great things through your people for your honor and glory. So go before us, we ask. We look forward to celebrating the ways you will work. In Jesus' name, amen.